Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio. Every week, Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now, your host, Jason Miller.
My guest is Angel Santa, the National Transportation Safety Board's Chief Information Officer. Angel, welcome back to the program. In many ways, this is a return engagement for you, but you are in a new job, so welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you for having me, Jason. I appreciate it.
So I think we talked when you were with the as the CIO of the Office of Justice Programs a few years ago. You're in a new role at the NTSB. Talk about your role as CIO at the NTSB and talk a little bit more about the agency's mission. People may have heard of the NTSB, but they may not know really what you guys do day in and day out.
Sure. Let me talk about the agency first. I'll boil down our mission to, in essence, improving transportation safety, saving lives. This is my fifth agency that I've been with, and I've never seen a more dedicated, focused group of individuals from top to down and across the whole agency. I'm so proud to be part of that group. Our core business is basically investigations, accident investigations, and produce products as a result of that. Products include safety recommendations and probable cause. Actually, this is our upcoming in the next few weeks is our 50th anniversary, which we're so proud of. And we've over 50 years, we've conducted roughly 200,000, give or take, investigations, produced roughly 15,000 safety recommendations. We do our work independently. And again, the group that I work with is just so dedicated and focused on saving lives. As far as my responsibilities, although we're not a CFO Act agency, we still follow, in essence, the mandates within the FITERA. And so I consider that my responsibilities as far as what we execute at NTSB. But on top of that, and bottom line is work in partnership with the offices to deliver services and tools to help them accomplish their mission.
It's interesting that you mentioned FITARA, the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act, just in case if our audience, they should know this, but just in case if they don't. You're right, you don't come under there, but by following it, that brings in budget, that brings in governance, that brings in acquisition. So from the CIO's perch, if you will, you are working closely with the CFO's office, with the acquisition office. That's when you talk about your role, that's a strategy role is a big part of it.
That's correct. I work directly with the CFO and the Office of Administration, the CHICO, if you may, on everything related to IT, but also in partnership with the offices. And it's important, although it's, again, we're not mandated, but the Act encourages us to utilize FITERA as part of the agencies.
The other piece of this, I guess, is the operational side as the CIO. You're not that big of an office, I imagine.
We're not.
So imagine you're playing some operational roles in terms of making sure that the network and the storage and all those things, the bandwidth, are all doing well, too. So how would you kind of break up your role? 50%, 50% strategically to operational? Or how would you kind of define that?
Right now, I'm spending a lot of time operational, but still in strategic. And I do have some goals that I'm trying to implement. But yeah, a lot of time right now because we're trying to mature the organization, and it is a lot of operational type activities.
And I imagine your goal would be to, and we'll talk about those bigger goals, but your main goal would probably be to change your role to be more on the strategic side versus the operational side over time. If we talk a year, 18 months from now, you know, you may say, well, now I used to be, 60-40 operational to strategic. Now I'm 60-40 strategic to operational. I mean, do I have that right?
That sounds correct. I mean, the intent is to let staff handle the execution and working and me work more strategically.
And I think that's what I'm hearing from a lot of CIOs. I mean, especially the smaller ones. Operational is very important, but having a vision for the future. Now, you came to NTSB last May. So you spent 7 years at the Office of Justice Programs. Discuss why you made the move and discuss how the transition's been.
I had two main goals when I arrived at OJP in 2008. One was to change the IT culture there to one as of a unified group working in partnership with the offices. And the second goal that I had, and this was back in 2008, was digital transformation. And you hear that buzzword today, but I was working that back then. That was my second goal, and I felt I've accomplished that, so it was time to move on. I had implemented probably one of the largest major cloud presences in the government. definitely it was the largest presence within DOJ, but I believe with also within the government, I would completely overhaul the infrastructure because it's all about data and processing data, and it wasn't able to really withhold mass processing of information, which is really digital transformation. And finally, one of the biggest things was a workspace initiative, which included basically virtual desktop, unified communications, and the ability for staff to work remotely up to 100% of the time. Once completed, we had at least half of the OJP staff working remotely pretty much most of the time, but could handle roughly 700 to 800, the full staff, full-time working remotely. So that was my initial goal as far as transformational, and I accomplished that. So it was time for me to move on. And once arriving at NTSB, I've received full support from top to bottom and across. We have board members, managing and deputy managing directors, directors and deputy directors of offices, and staff across the full spectrum supporting what we're trying to do. And that's one thing that's I'm very proud of. One thing I'm also seeing most recently, the new administration and Congress recognizes the importance of transportation safety, and they are actually expecting to fund us at levels that, you know, we were very comfortable with. And it's very good to see that from the administration and Congress is very, I guess, ensuring that they really care about the safety.
Well, I hope so. I mean, we all are on the roads. We're all driving. We're all flying in airplanes and such. Your transition, how tough was this of a transition? Have you ever worked in the transportation world? Have you ever worked in the transportation safety world? Because Office of Justice Programs was a big grant-making agency.
That's correct.
NTSB has more of an operational role, just by my initial understanding.
And that's correct. It's a new business for me. I've worked at HUD in the housing industry. I've worked at FDIC in the financial regulation, at education, and OJP, which was a grant-making organization. But to me, part of what I do is understand the business. So my goal and what I have been doing is learning the business, talking to the offices. There's a 2-week program actually on that focuses on the investigation aspect of it, which I plan to attend. So I want to understand the business so I can make sure I can deliver services to support that the business.
I was talking to a CIO just recently, and he too moved from one agency to another. It's very different. And he said, you know, I went to the field offices. I went out and really tried to learn what their business was. How did you go about learning the business so far? As you said, there's this 2-week program on investigations, but that's something you will do versus what have you been doing?
Oh, well, initially, actually, I read everything that was on the internet, right? So
you can't believe the internet, right?
That's correct.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Talk about it.
Yeah. So I, that's how I started. I read that. I've met with the offices. I launched with them, went out in one of the investigations. I've met with one of the regional offices, and my plan over the next 3 months is to go visit the other 3 regional offices and continue to launch with them. I recently attended a 1-week, what we call a stand down by the aviation group, which allowed me to get more insight into the practices and what they do. At the end of the day, a lot from a technology perspective is about giving collaboration tools. Right, so no matter what industry you're in or what business, it, at the end of the day, it's providing those type of tools.
What was the reaction as the new CIO is coming out? Do people go, here we go again, another CIO trying to help us out? Or were they more open? You said it's been a great experience so far, and I know NTSB has been one of the best places to work and on the Partnership for Public Service and the federal survey. But give me a sense, what was the reaction as you started going out to these regional offices and meeting the field workers?
So I wanted open dialogue, right? I wanted to hear the good and the bad. And one thing I forgot, I did meet actually with one of the veterans of NTSB to talk about how they actually do their work. So out of that, I got out that there's a lot of manual efforts, especially in capturing information. Not that that's entirely throughout NTSB, but it gave me a little bit more insight. But as far as adoption, it's still when you come into an organization, it's okay, let me see what you can do and your approach. But again, so far I've received positive feedback in what we're trying to do. I'm telling you, right now it's little steps, but I have big plans going forward, and hopefully that'll get adoption. I know I'm getting support from throughout.
Excellent. Now we'll get into those big steps when we talk about your future goals. Before we do that, Let's just real quick, the makeup of your office, how many federal employees do you have, how many contractors, your IT budget for at least 2016, if not, I'm not sure if you know what your 2017 budget is, but give us a sense of the makeup of your office.
Currently, it's this typical IT structure. You have CIO, deputy, CTO, a CISO, and then you have different groups, divisions, if you may, application, infrastructure, security, if you may. One of the differences, I'm responsible for records management, FOIA, and a privacy program. So that's another division within the CIO shop. So we have roughly 27 government staff. Contractor staff varies to, let's say, I'll say on average about 10, give or take the projects. As far as budget, we're a very small organization. So it's roughly, I would say, about $5 million, give or take, annual budget.
And that's just the IT budget. Obviously, the budget of NTSB is much bigger. So it sounds like it's interesting that you mentioned 27 FTEs or government staff, 10 contractors. Usually I hear that it's the opposite. It's the other way around. And I know it varies, as you said, depends on the project and the time of the year and mm-hmm. what you guys are working on. But from a ratio standpoint of 2-to-1 government to contractor, that works for you guys? Almost 3-to-1, I guess.
We're doing what we can with the resources we have, just like everyone else. Again, we always focus on our priorities and at least make sure we can at least deliver that. So we're doing the best we can as we have. And understanding, again, NTSB is not a large agency, and we work closely with the CFO and managing folks to help fund the projects.
Excellent. Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll jump into some of those big plans that you referred to. My guest is Angel Santa, the National Transportation Safety Board's Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, your host. My guest is Angel Santa, the National Transportation Safety Board's Chief Information Officer. Now, Angel, before break, we're getting back to know you a little bit and getting to know NTSB a little bit and the makeup of your office and your role at NTSB. Let's jump in. You mentioned some goals, some priorities. Let's jump into those. What are you trying to get done over the next 6 or 9 months?
When I walked into NTSB, I almost felt like there's a movie, Groundhog's Day, when I walked into OJP, a similar situation where it changed the IT culture to be more of a partner to deliver a transformation, digital transformation. So those are some of the things I faced when I got here to NTSB. Not criticizing, but again, that's just the situation I face, and that's fine. So some of the priorities include laying a foundation to deliver services, and that includes establishing an infrastructure. To me, that's always been the bottom line. But you can't deliver services without a solid foundation. One of the key efforts that I'm working on is establishing a customer contact center and putting more structure to that. So those are some of the key things that I'm really working on over the next 6 months.
Let's dig into that just a little bit. First of all, let's start with the customer contact center. When we hear customer, a lot of times we think of the citizen or the businesses, but you're really talking about the internal customer to NTSB.
That is correct. Right now, I believe we're doing a decent job, but I want to basically put some more structure in it, including looking at tools that will help support that.
So when you talk about structure, a lot of times when I talk to CIOs, they say, well, I'm going to have a director of this mission area and a director of that mission area and a director of this mission area again, you know, and then they'll work directly with the mission area and bring back their technology requirements to the bigger CIO staff, and then we'll work on that together. Is that your goal too, or how are you setting up your kind of this customer contact center?
So more it's responding to calls, emails, if you may. But there's still obviously liaison with the program offices to see what's going on. So I've been having some meetings with the directors and deputies of the different offices just to see where they're going, what they're trying to do. So that'll continue on. But this is more to handle the operational activity, day-to-day type activities, what are the issues that are occurring.
So help desk almost?
Help desk. I don't like using that term too much. I prefer service desk.
Service desk.
And even more, I want to evolve to more of a contact center internal.
And you guys aren't that big anyway, so it's not like you have 50,000 people. I mean, I think you mentioned 400 and some people.
That's correct.
So, you know, I'm sure a single help desk has to be more than just a help desk in the traditional sense.
That's correct.
The other piece is the network piece. You talked about establishing an infrastructure really to, you can't do that, can't deliver these services without the solid foundation. Talk about the infrastructure. Is it a matter of just more bandwidth, more storage, taking it to the cloud? Give me a sense.
It's a whole combination of that. But it starts with the WAN, obviously, the Wide Area Network. So I've learned a long time ago that it's all about data, utilizing the skills and the tools you have, and producing some sort of result. But it's all about information flow and having the pipes to allow that information to flow through.
Now, right now, is your WAN just slower and you're hoping to go from like 10 gigabit to 100 gigabit type of thing? That's what I hear a lot of. Or is it more about the throughput, meaning it's not necessarily the speed, but how much data we can get through? Give me a sense of what you want to do with the WAN over the next, again, 6 or 9 months.
Well, it's a combination, but at the bottom line, we have 10, 15-year-old WAN put in place. It's just not going to handle it. And especially as you look at the iPhones and the Droids, as they continue to evolve to 5G, the amount of data that flows through those devices are just not going to be able to handle by the current infrastructure.
And as you said earlier on, when you went out to the field offices, when you talked to the missionaries, there's a lot of manual data collection. If the goal is to eventually move that to some sort of electronic data collection, whether it's tablet computers or laptops or however, that also will need to hook back up to that WAN. And if you're 10 to 15 years old, as you're right, that's just not going to work well. I can only imagine.
That's correct. We have a high amount of usage out in the field. We have, I suspect, about 25% or so or more of our staff is out in the field.
Maybe we'll touch on that a little bit later in the conversation. One of the other things that, as I was doing some research for our discussion today, I know NTSB put out their strategic plan, and one of their strategic goals was to implement, and I'm going to read this, IT solutions to increase innovation and collaboration into the mission and administrative processes. I know that this plan was set up before you got there, but I'm sure you're going forward with it. Talk a little bit about those goal, that one goal, and what kind of progress are you making?
And I mentioned digital transformation. I mean, that is the goal, but you can't do that in a silo. That's working in partnership with the offices, making sure we understand the data flow, making sure we understand what they're trying to do. And I go back to the foundation of the infrastructure and the processing power and storage. So we recently got a CTO to come on board, and within 2 months, he's already laid out the design for what this future WAN looks like. And we're working actively with the Office of Administration, with the CFO, and with leadership to see how we can make that a reality. And to me, I think we're now taking overall to another level. And the intent is, should we be able to implement, and I have a lot of confidence that we will, to share that with other offices, to share that. And I know there's a lot of small agencies that need this type of information, though. So to share it, maybe not necessarily as a shared services, but share the experience, share the design, and help them actually implement. So that is one of the goals that we're looking to take care of. One thing I hear the federal CIO that's supposed to come on board is very proactive, wants innovation, is looking to take advantage of private industry and structures in place. And what we're looking to do really right here is innovate. And I look forward to that support. And also GSA putting programs in place that can help us do that.
I know one big program that GSA is going to put in place is this Enterprise Infrastructure Solutions, the EIS contract. That's the part of that Networks 2020 effort. Is that kind of what you're talking about? Because that's a big network contract, but I'm not sure if that's what you're referring to.
Yeah, I mean, we'll look at that. We're using networks now, but the hope is that it can give more flexibility. So what are the solutions that can fit smaller agencies with lower budgets? So that is the hope, that it'd be more flexible in choosing solutions, shared services when possible, but flexibility. One of the other things we're looking at as part of digital transformation is team collaboration. We currently have Office 365 with Skype for Business, but not fully utilized as we need to be. So we're looking to expand there. We're building an enterprise accident investigation system. That's an active project. We've taken steps to enhance our analytic capabilities, and that's another active project. One thing, when I talked about ingesting data, capturing data, and the work, the way that it's being done, looking at communication interface, how do we utilize the tools we have out in the field as we conduct investigations to maybe help the investigators maybe use the iPhone to capture and ingest that data and have that translated into digital. So those are the kind of things we're looking at to be able to work anywhere and establish a digital workplace.
Let me just back up just real briefly on the EIS contract from GSA.
Sure.
Have you had conversations? Have you looked at your inventory? It's very early on in the process. We know that the awards haven't even been made yet.
Right.
But at the same time, are you guys starting to look at that in a more serious fashion, or is it just you know it's happening and you'll use it when it's appropriate?
Yeah, I mean, we know it's happening. We kind of keep an eye on it, and we're going to use it as we can.
Okay, well, that's helpful to know because, as you said, I think your point is right that making it easier for some small agencies to take advantage of it is going to be key. The other thing you mentioned that I want to talk about is the Enterprise Accident Investigation System. Talk a little bit about that effort. Is it building off of a current database? Is it a brand new effort? Give me some more details.
We have currently an accident investigation system for aviation. We have other means of capturing investigation information for the different modals, if you may. That includes, we have an off-highway office that conducts investigation. We have an office that conducts railroad pipeline and hazardous investigation. We have another office that conducts marine investigations. So the intent now is to begin look at the accident investigation system in place, aviation, and expand that for use for the other modals and be able to take advantage of the synergies and also the data that's available.
I think part of that is that idea of shared services you mentioned is, well, this works for the aviation. Is it the 80% solution for a railroad and pipeline and hazardous materials? Is it the 80% solution for marine? Is that the approach you're taking where maybe we only need to customize that 20% for the data elements and the way they do their investigations, but the back end system is mostly the same?
Yeah, it is. But we're looking at the whole thing. What functionality can be utilized corporately? How do we look at the back end to see, do we make changes to the database to be more futuristic, if you may, to be able to provide us ability to do more analytics down the line. But we are starting with the base that's already in place.
What kind of timeline are we looking at? Is there any kind of acquisition here? It's a project underway, you said, but
it's ongoing, right now. We're looking to see, we're actually going through a pilot phase. We expect to at least have the first piece in place supporting one of the offices, which is marine safety, in the next several months. And from that, we'll look at the other offices that I mentioned, railroad pipeline and the highway. And so as a group, we'll all look at it. All the offices will look at it and determine, okay, does this first piece that we pilot still applies to the other offices? And what do we need to do to go from there?
What is the first piece you're piloting? Can you offer a little more details?
We a group that does marine investigations. So we looked at how they perform the work, what's already available, and we're going to build out the functionality to see if it can support that marine safety while also understanding what the other offices do. And then as they look at that and see if that can be utilized and how much more we need to tailor that.
All right, that's fascinating. Now, here's the big question. Agile, right? DevOps.
Yes.
That's got to be, you're going to tell me all about how you're using it, right?
Yeah. I mean, we're using Agile now. I mean, we've just implemented a product management system, the application, if you may, and that used an Agile methodology. And we implemented that system in November of this past year. So now we're in finishing up some maintenance and a few enhancements. But yeah, I mean, we use Agile methodologies. We work with the offices. We introduce that process to them. So we expect to continue in similar form.
And the reason why I bring it up, the Agile side, is because as you're going through each office, again, the 80% solution, you got to customize maybe the 20% solution. So therefore, by doing it per modal, you're not doing this big bang theory of you're going to just kind of add on to the existing system. And that's why I figured it lent to Agile.
Yeah, and that is the approach we're taking. Continue to add on.
Excellent, excellent. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to jump into some data analytics because, I mean, that's the other key to this database is the tools on top. My guest is Angel Santa, the National Transportation Safety Board's Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest is Angel Santa, the National Transportation Safety Board's Chief Information Officer. Now, Angel, before break, we got into this new investigation enterprise data system. And one of the key pieces to any big data system is, of course, the tools that go on top. You talked about you're going to look to enhance some of those analytical capabilities. Talk a little bit about your plans around that.
And that's another project, Jason, that we recently started. And we have an enterprise architect on my team, Rahik Saeed, and we also working with our CTO, which is Victor Pham, and the program offices. So we've began that effort over the last couple of months. And the intent now is to look at the data sources and who the owners are and how we can use it. But at the end of the day, it's trying to find out where is it we're trying to get to as far as results, and then stepping back and finding where the sources are. So we actually began that project, and we're actively working on it. We're looking at various tools that can support that effort. And I'm looking at advanced analytics at this point.
You have some analytics now, I imagine.
We do.
Where do you want to go? Like, if you're at A, do you want to go to B, or you're at A, you want to go to D, like in terms of the advanced analytics?
I want to go to D.
Right? Well, we always want to go to D.
But I want to make sure I have a solid foundation in what we do, right? I want to make sure we target what data we need to go after and methodically go after it and build out that full data analytics tool. But I don't want to go around looking for various tools and then have to refocus on new tools. So the hope is the tool that can support us is broad enough so it can expand into the future.
Do you have tools right now, or how are you reviewing those tools? Do you set up any pilots, or are you doing any kind of like sandbox tests?
So right now we're just looking at tools. We're looking at ways to what tools will support what we're trying to do. And there's several that I've worked with in the past. So we're going to investigate all the tools and make sure we make the right decision. We do work with federal agencies, and as part of our investigation, local agencies, state, and we also work with manufacturers as part of our investigations. We do exchange data, but it's not to the point where the true analytics that I'm trying to get to down the line and working with the offices.
I think you knew my next question, which is all about the big data challenge then and how you guys are addressing it. And I think part of that, as you mentioned, is the information sharing, because the federal, state, and local partners and private sector. Talk a little bit about how you're addressing both the big data challenge above and beyond this accident and investigation system, but and the tools on top of that, and also information sharing.
Yeah, and it still goes back to making sure we have the right sources, the data sources, and where we're trying to go with it. The data we share with these different party members, when we go out and launch, we call them like party teams. And I don't mean that in a wrong connotation, but we go out with groups and we share information. But as far as formal sharing of information, we do some of that with different agencies, but we do have to maintain our independence, part of our investigations. So again, we're looking to step back, look at all the sources, look at where we're trying to go, look at who has it, and build out what we need to build out. My goal is to not capture information and then duplicate it. It's maybe to have access to the information, if at all possible, and use it where it stands to do your analytics.
So one key piece of that is this concept that we've talked a lot about in the past is web services. Are you building some web services to bring those disparate databases together?
That'll be part of the goal also, as needed.
And then the other piece of this, I think, is this idea of when it comes to information sharing is how do you connect the dots between disparate databases? The web services is the tool, but do you need agreements? How do you bring in the right partners? And from an IT perspective.
And that is actually important, yes. You have to make sure that you have some level of agreement. And a lot of, I don't want anyone really going into my transactional system and doing these run-on queries that affect the business. So the intent is to reach some sort of agreement where we can have access to data, maybe a copy that they keep somewhere. So without basically disrupting the business. But we do need to move forward with a lot of agreements around.
And then the other piece of this is, you mentioned about 25% of the NTSB employees work in the field. How are you ensuring that they're getting access to the data they need? You mentioned potentially iPhones or Android devices and tablets. What are you guys doing around mobility as it relates to big data so there's access?
So that would still future activity. We've implemented the iPhone 6Ss. We just released some laptops. Newer laptops to utilize it. So the intent is once we get somewhere down the line is to include the various folks that need the data and make sure they understand the usage and how to take advantage of what's available. And that's, again, why we need these pipes, the network, to be able to process that information, to include video streaming.
And I imagine that when they're on a site is right now, because you mentioned earlier, there's some manual inputting that happens.
Sure.
Are you at the point where you want to move off the manual inputting and into electronic, or meaning are they using pen and paper, or are they already inputting stuff into their iPhone or their tablet computer, and then they have to go back to the network and hook up and then to download that data? Where do you see the process moving from a big data, collecting data, and then ensuring that data gets to the right database and can be shared?
And that is something I'll need to work closely with the offices, because it is part of a change that affects them. But we'll do this in partnership, obviously. But and they are actually using a combination, capturing information electronically on the scene, capturing using iPads, phones, but also using pen and paper. And then at the end of the day, going back and working and then kind of maybe translate that information into digital. But my hope, and again, this will be working with the offices, is that maybe they can, using conversational interfaces, that they can use that iPhone to capture some of the information, just have a conversation, capture it in our phone, it gets digitized, becomes available for whatever needs to occur post the capture.
And I think that's the end result, what I'm hearing from a lot of agencies similar to NTSB, which is big data agencies. How can we make it easier, but how can we make sure that data gets back? Because, you know, if a crash happens on a train track in the middle of the Midwest where there's not a lot of connectivity, or there's not a lot of, you know, the cell signals are not that strong, which I'm sure there's a lot of places in the expansion of the West where there's just not tons of cell towers. So how do you make sure that they don't have to revert back to a clipboard and a piece of paper and then have to re-input the data? I'm sure that gets all played into that, your discussion.
One of the other things we're looking at, and I mentioned this earlier, is a GoKit. It's something that the investigators can take with them, especially to these rural areas, to give them a broader access to the networks. And this way, but that kit, we're looking at to be able to also have storage, where you can capture that information in storage, and at some point be able to take that and upload it to an environment. At some point, we're looking also for that electronically to occur once they get within range. So those are some things that we're looking at.
And would that, this GoKit also potentially include satellite?
That's correct.
Oh, okay.
Satellite to expand, to utilize the networks out there, storage. So we're looking at full-fledged GoKit where you can go out in a rural area and take advantage of what is available within a radius.
Well, any timing on that, or is it, where are you in that stage of, is it very early on?
That's early on right now, but it's something that we're looking to at least do a pilot on over the next year.
All right, very good. Yeah, we got to talk cybersecurity, of course. You got to protect your systems, you got to protect your network, protect your data. And of course, if we talk cyber, we got to talk the continuous diagnostics and mitigation, the CDM program. I know, again, you mentioned earlier that NTSB is not part of those CFO Act agencies, but you may be part of the shared services options that DHS is offering for CDM. So start with cybersecurity. What's the vision there?
I haven't mentioned security before, but that's a given with us with everything we do. So we continue to reevaluate our security posture, defensive depth security measures, and update our posture as appropriate to make sure we continue to protect our data and our systems. Some components of defense in depth include antivirus, anti-spyware programs, firewalls, PIV authentication, intrusion detection and protection, and a help somewhere down the line, biometrics. But that's still somewhere down the line. But in addition to the electronic countermeasures, we have security programs in place, the training and physical security to make sure we secure our vital data against intrusion.
You went through the kind of the laundry list of all the technologies. From a training standpoint, one of the things I hear often is phishing attacks and email attacks, you know, through is the easiest way to get malware on a system. What are you guys doing around to ensure your employees are not clicking on that link that they shouldn't be?
Yeah, we do have training on that. So we emphasize that. And we on occasion, we'll send out some messages to reminder. And we are using MTIPs, right? So we're doing everything we can to try to minimize that. But sure, sometimes, I mean, that does occur. So we'll look at the tools and make sure that if we find something, then we will alert everyone else. So, and you asked about the CDM program, right? So we are working with DHS and take advantage of the offerings to further enhance our security programs, especially in the areas of dashboards and helping to get real-time results so we can prioritize and react to these findings to address any high vulnerabilities and lower operational risks.
Are you part of the shared services? Are you looking at what they call CMAS as a service?
Yeah, and again, this is still all an issue. So we actually plan to meet with CDM leaders over the next couple of months to really get an in-depth understanding of what they can do to help us grow in these areas. And one thing that's very important is dashboards. that we can see what's coming and hopefully be proactive.
Excellent. That's maybe something to follow up with you in a few months after you had that meeting and mm-hmm. see where you're going. We do a lot of CDM work on large agencies, but the small agency perspective is important, but something that maybe doesn't get a lot of coverage. Angel, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we can finish up our conversation. We're going to talk about the other hat you wear, FOIA, and records management. My guest is Angel Santa, the CIO for the National Transportation Safety Board. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest is Angel Santa, the National Transportation Safety Board's Chief Information Officer. Angel, before break, we talked a lot about your priorities, some of the things you're working on, big data, cybersecurity. One thing you didn't mention that I was just a little surprised about, so I got to start there, is the cloud. What is the NTSB doing around the cloud?
So we have used Office 365 on the cloud. So we're there now. So the intent now is to look at everything else we have. What can we migrate to the cloud? And I know that there's a lot of concern about security on the cloud. But, you know, industry is out there on the cloud. Industry has put out their mission on the cloud. So we're looking to move into the .gov cloud. I mentioned earlier that I had prior to coming to NTSB, we have one of the biggest presence in the cloud. So my approach, though, is still to make sure that we can move everything securely. One thing that I had initially set up at OJP is to have a centrally secure process and infrastructure in place to manage that information that goes between NTSB and the cloud. But I wanted to minimize the security cost on the cloud and have that centrally focused. So my intent is try to put a similar structure that I put in place before and then provide all the security centralized in there so that I don't have to keep funding each security instance of each cloud program that I put up there.
As you're looking at the cloud, you mentioned Office 365 as one example. Do you foresee several applications that could be, for instance, transferred to software as a service? Or do you see, as you're updating your WAN, do you see a place for infrastructure as a service or platform as a service? It may be a year or two or three down the road, but you can have that vision?
Yeah, I do see that at some point. If something that's available, that's commercially in place now. So my take is, why build a WAN when industry has it? Why can't I take advantage of a WAN that's out there? Let's say data centers from one of the big boys, if you may, has a data center set up around the country. So why couldn't I take advantage of that as opposed to beginning to stand up instances and another WAN myself?
Related to this, shared services, you guys are an independent agency, but I'm sure you work closely with the Department of Transportation. Are you talking to their CIO, who obviously Richard McKinney has now left, but they have an acting one, or other agencies, whether it's outside of DOT, to look at their data centers or their shared services? Any conversations around there?
And that's still early stages, but yeah, I've had a conversation with one or two other CIOs as far as what they're doing relating to the WAN. So that will continue, and my hope is once we move forward on able to implement the WAN as we see it, which a future WAN is, to share that with others. And again, lessons learned, design, help them implement. And if it comes down, sure, I don't mind doing shared services if there's some sort of agreement that we can support.
Cloud is coming. It's going to take a little while longer beyond Office 365. I mentioned right before break that you wear another hat. You're also the chief FOIA officer for NTSB. FOIA is a big, big challenge for a lot of agencies, but maybe less so for NTSB. Talk about that other hat you wear.
In my prior jobs, I guess one of the things was the request that used to come in focused more on emails and then having the resources now to pull those emails back up, especially if you had archived them. So at NTSB, more of the requests center around documents. So we have a system that we use to basically manage that. But we also store a lot of our documents on the public side. So the public has access to documents. Now, if there's an active investigation, we don't put any of that information out there. So we get a lot of requests for active cases. We get a lot of requests for documents in the past. And we have that information pretty readily available. But that's still a lot of manual effort and resource intensive from the programmatic side to gather that information and put it out for, not necessarily on the IT side.
I know a lot of what the NTSB does is put out the public documents.
Correct.
How do you as the CIO support that? Do you, again, go back to your infrastructure, goes back to storage, the search capabilities all on the public side. Do you support that those efforts as well?
That's correct. We do. I mean, the public site that we put up, we support that system. My staff goes out and works within our organization to make sure we can get to all the files.
But are you seeing like an increase, for instance, are you getting more requests than ever before? Are you worried about the storage, the bandwidth? Are you worried about websites crashing? Because, for instance, the Office of Government-Wide Ethics, another small agency, mm-hmm. experienced, they won't say it's a crash, but they say we were overwhelmed.
So we're not at the point where we're being overwhelmed yet. So and there is an increase in requests. And these documents we produce are quite big documents, some 1,000 pages, 500 pages. So these are massive documents that we're putting out there and that are being requested on it. So as of today, as far as the IT resources, it's not an impact yet. It's more of a human capital on the FOIA team, the records management team. But yeah, these documents are quite huge that are being asked for.
And now I know we were talking as well earlier about the imagery, the data. Are you also getting, is that another big challenge for you as the chief FOIA officer? The fact is now a lot of these investigations include photos or video?
Yes, and that's correct. And these are massive files that we're putting out on the docket.
How does that affect your infrastructure in terms of bandwidth and storage and such? Or do you have that? Again, that's maybe separate than what the day-to-day employee at NTSB has to deal with and from a bandwidth infrastructure standpoint.
That's correct. It's separate from the day-to-day employee. But getting those documents across, we are kind of getting them in where we need to. And they do take a while to get to process, to get loaded into the databases back end. So, but we are getting them through.
All right. Well, that's good news. I know a lot of agencies are facing a bigger lift on FOIA. It's good to see you guys have not fallen under the FOIA paper deluge yet. Angel, we're almost out of time before I let you go. I always like to ask about vendors. There's a ton of vendors I know that listen to the show, and you've talked about some projects and programs. And even with a small budget of only $5 million, there's a lot of vendors who probably like to talk to you. So what advice do you have for them?
I look at it from two perspectives. Someone that wants to provide a service, development, et cetera. So I'm looking for someone that's going to be a partner with me right there in the trenches as things occur, to be right there available with cost-effective solution, value-added services, and continual improvement. From a product perspective, I'm looking for the same thing, but also cost-effective tools and tools that have a potential to increase productivity. And finally, as I evaluate tools, I'm not looking at what they're doing today only. I'm looking at what do they have in the pipeline and what are their future plans. Because my hope is that as I implement things, though technology changes so quickly, that something I can implement that'll be stable. And as I've worked throughout my career, I've always tried to put things in place that I outlast my tenure.
Angel, this has been a fascinating conversation. Unfortunately, we're out of time. So I'd like to thank my guest, Angel Santa, the National Transportation Safety Board's Chief Information Officer. Thanks for taking the time.
Jason, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, Ask the CIO, Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.